So grateful for our worship team. Such an important part of worship is coming into the presence of God, preparing our hearts to hear the Word of God, and just amazing. Don't take it for granted. Don't take for granted all that the Lord is doing here. I meet with Goose Ryan, who is our leads our high school ministry, and he talks about how more than ever, people are coming to Christ, people are going out on the mission field, people are being discipled. I said, you got enough room for everybody? He says, no, we do not have enough room for everybody, and that's where you come in. That's where he points to me. And I know that we don't care too much about numbers, but they have more in high school and middle school than ever before. Here's the summer slowdown when it's supposed to be slow here at church, and we're looking around going, sometimes it's hard to get a seat. You look around, and I praise God. Don't take for granted all that the Lord is doing here as he continues to grow this family of believers spiritually and numerically. And so many amazing things are going on. A team that just got back from Ecuador and all the gospel opportunities. Listen, we all have a part in that as we pray, as we give, as we go. As families are sent out, planting churches, going on mission trips, God is doing amazing things. And sometimes, just like today, I'm just overflowing. My heart is overflowing with the goodness of God and all that he's doing in all of our ministry areas, with our special needs ministry. Oh, my goodness. I had a gentleman who owns businesses in the area. He doesn't go to church here. He lives far away, and he was just here, and we toured around a few weeks ago. And he left here in tears, just all that the Lord was doing. And I'm so grateful for you all and how you love God, how you love people, how you are serious about the Word of God. And you know that we are indeed serious about the Word of God. And we love people. You know, Paul is writing this letter of Ephesians to us. But the Apostle John wrote under the inspiration of Scripture. And Jesus spoke to him about Ephesus many years later. And he says, man, they are sound in doctrine, but they left their first love. Didn't love people. Didn't have a passion and a love for people. Listen, let us be serious about the Word of God, but let us love one another, love people, serve people. In this world we live in, everybody's trying to be great. But we remember that the Lord says, if you want to be the greatest, then you become a servant of all. I walk around here and I see people moving chairs and picking up trash. And you know that you're serving the Lord himself. So listen, you keep on being a servant. You be the greatest. Every one of us has that opportunity to be the greatest because we can serve one another, love one another, be serious about the Word of God, and take this good news that God has given us, the hope that we have in Christ, to our community, from the neighborhoods to the nations. We're hearing stories about the gospel going out in Ecuador. We praise the Lord for the team that just came back. We praise the Lord for those who have been in Israel and have returned safely just a couple of weeks ago, for the team that was in Daytona Beach and in Myrtle Beach, for the teams that are going to Peru and Chicago and Haiti and Ukraine and later India and all the places that the Lord our God would send us. We have so much to be grateful for, and listen, we have so much to be praying for. We've got a lot of work in front of us. Now, if you're visiting with us today, let me encourage you, hey, come on, be a part of this family that is following hard after the Lord, a bunch of imperfect people who are following a perfect Savior. You come here, you bring your Bible, you read ahead. We love going through the books of the Bible. Now, today we conclude our study in the book of Ephesians, some parting words and battlefield prayers that Paul's going to speak to us about. So we are now concluding our study in the book of Ephesians, and I want to talk to you about prayer. Battlefield prayers is the context, for you remember last time we were together, Paul said, finally, brethren, as he's concluding, he wanted us to know that we were in an invisible war, a spiritual warfare, that all of us, like it or not, are involved in. And he told us about how to be prepared for that, the ground war, which is the armor of God, putting on the armor of God. He began in verse 10 by saying, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strengthened and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, relying on His strength, relying on His ability. And you could take everything He said about the armor of God and put a circle around that and then just drop it right down to where we are here now in verse 18. And He wants to speak to us not about the ground war, but the air war, or should I say prayer war. The only offensive weapon that was mentioned in the armor of God was the sword, which is the word of God. That's offensive and defensive. But now here, there's something else that He had not included. And don't forget it. And this is prayer. How the heavens move when we pray. How people's lives are changed spiritually as we pray. Prayer is power. It's the power of God. When we speak about prayer, a child's definition is often very helpful. Children will talk to God. They don't know all of this spiritual language of, you know, Lord, thank you that you are the propitiation for our sin. You know, never heard my kids pray that way. But when we pray, it's communication with God. We're speaking to God. We're asking God. We're thanking God. Specific prayers, general prayers. And there is power in that conversation when the greatest being ever is willing to listen to us at any time without a reservation. He encourages us to come boldly into His presence and make our requests known. Daddy is listening to His children, and He wants to have a conversation. Not just simply in the morning, I do my devotions, and then, hey, I'll see you tomorrow at the same time. But as Paul says here, praying always. There is a lifestyle. We are to pray frequently as a lifestyle. Now listen, as we think about lifestyle, people have said about my diet, you know, you need to not go on a diet anymore. I said, man, I'm great for 1 month or, you know, maybe even 2 months. I can go on a diet up until the point where somebody brings ice cream into the room. The lifestyle's over at that point, right? And prayer is not a, let me try it for a day or two. Let me get hyped up on some program or whatever. But this is now the lifestyle of the believer to be plugged into God, not only speaking to, but listening to God. It's beautiful to pray over an open Bible and let the Lord speak to us and let us make our requests known and our hearts known. Just praying normal language to God. Prayer. The Bible speaks about this great weapon. Jesus taught His disciples to pray. The Bible teaches us that we have not because we ask not. In other words, you should ask. I love the acrostic ASK, A-S-K, ask. He says, ask and it will be given to you, A. Seek, S, seek and you shall find, K. Knock and the door will be open to you. This is on that spiritual plane in the air, winning the battle from the air. We can change the world by our prayers. Listen, remember that the Apostle Paul is writing from prison and he says, hey, listen, I want you to be praying always. This is going to grant success. Whereas the Bible had said, my people are dying for a lack of knowledge and that there is no knowledge of God in the land, suddenly now the people of God can engage the world we live in. We can engage this gospel ministry that we've been called to, and we can literally change the world from our knees. Paul says, pray. Pray always. I can think about the times in my own life, been on the mission field. My first mission trip was a big introduction to the power of prayer. We were going out throughout the villages. And we were in Europe, in Romania, And as we were going out, we would put up signs that said, we're going to show the Jesus movie. We'd put out signs. Then that night, we would go and show the Jesus movie to where we'd been days before, where they're showing this video, this movie. It was 2 hours long. It was the Gospel of Luke, word for word. And as we would pray, God was drawing people unto himself. We were meeting in these town hall places that used to be ruled by communism. And now they were open, and God had opened up the hearts of the people and gospel opportunities in response to prayer. And now they were coming. The dad would sit down, the wife would sit on his lap, and then two children would sit on the mom's lap. There were people peeking in the windows. It was standing room only. People had a hunger for the word of God. And here we have a group of people in the United States and our team. We're praying. God's moving the people. They're watching the gospel, weeping as they see the Savior dying for their sins. And hundreds every night were coming to faith in Christ. On the last night, as we were going spreading the gospel throughout the villages of Romania, we were coming into a large village, and we were getting resistance. The religious leaders, they were up to no good. Isn't that crazy? They were jealous. They didn't like our message. The religious leaders were bringing opposition. They had called the police, and they had shut it down. And we didn't have a key to get into this place to show the video. And so we're thinking, for a second, it's over. Not going to be able to do this. But we prayed, Lord, give us an opportunity to have access. Here we are praying, making this request known. And there's a young man, a teenager, who caught up with us just at this random side of the road place. And he says, you're the team for America looking for the key to the place? And we said, yes. And he said, here's that key. You're going to go in there tonight and show the video. Gives us the key. We said, thank you. We're still trying to process all of this. We go in that night. And we had free reigns, at least for the first part, and scores of people came to Christ. And I'm sitting there going, Lord, as we have need, we're on the front lines, and we're praying and crying out, and you're just going right before us every step of the way. Every time we have a need, we didn't have Bibles, Bibles showed up. We didn't have a place to meet. This young man, I'm convinced that had to be an angel, just kind of came out of nowhere. God puts an angel in a gas station on the side of a village. It gives us a key and says, here you are. You're going to have your meeting tonight. And we said, okay. I mean, it's amazing all of what God does as we trust him with prayer, as we cry out to him. I can tell you stories about being in Mexico, and our team was praying. People stateside were praying. We had 2 hours. They said, let's go out, and it was in the middle of nowhere. And every quarter mile, half mile, you'd see just a house. I mean, it was not a house. Your bathrooms are bigger than these places. And it was just dirt floors. And my heart, I just, going from one place to the next, I was drying my eyes, just crying and weeping for these people. You think, I can't help them. I don't have clothes. I don't have food. I don't have what they need. And the Lord says, you have what they need. The people are praying, bring them the good news about my son. And listen, you have been on mission trips before in the Ukraine. You know these stories about being there and God providing as people would pray. I want you to know this is the context of these prayers, these battlefield prayers. Went into this one place and I had an interpreter with me. The sun was setting in Mexico. And it was an older lady who was holding her special needs child. And her words were, we knew you were coming. And we shared the gospel with her and scores of other households like that. And just about everyone was coming to faith in Christ. And the Lord was just using us as his instruments to share the gospel. Same way with the team that just got back from Ecuador. Same way. You guys know. You've been there. God works through the prayers of his people. Prayer is power. And listen, I want to encourage you and tell you it's not just because you have a passport.
You can be faithful even without a passport. God is using you in the homes, on your teams, baseball teams, soccer teams. God is using you in your classrooms, in your neighborhoods, in your workplace. God is using you as you pray. God, go before us. Open up the hearts of those that would hear. Praying always with all prayer. This is now the lifestyle of the child of God. And all supplication, that is the specific request. God, pray for our friend Tom Russell, who's here with us today, who's planting a church, working church revitalization out in California, visiting with us and hearing the work that it is hard. Let me say it's impossible, the work that God has called us to do. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, open up the hearts of the people. And when we speak, let us speak boldly the gospel, that people might be saved and that you might be glorified. That's the prayer that God is listening to. And so he says here, praying in the Spirit. Praying these Spirit-filled, Spirit-motivated prayers, where we're not praying selfishly in the flesh, but saying, Thy will be done, not my will be done. Hey, listen. We're all guilty of praying selfish prayers in the flesh, right? Lord, I need a car. You say, well, that's not bad. Not if you drive a 98 Volvo like me, but you were praying for that red Lamborghini, right, at some time. Or you were praying, Lord, make him my boyfriend or my girlfriend. Or maybe you were praying, hey, that girl that stole my boyfriend, Lord, I pray you'd break her leg tonight. We pray selfish prayers. That's not what he's talking about here. These battlefield prayers, seeing the word of God spread out. Listen, we pray for one another. We pray that we would face the opposition well, that we would resist temptation, that we would not be taken down by Satan and these fiery darts that come against us. We pray for one another. But here he's talking about praying in the Spirit and being watchful, literally not sleeping. Don't sleep on the job. Pay attention. Be alert for these opportunities and fire in these prayers, for prayer is power. Looking for these opportunities, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance, not giving up, continually praying, persistent, continual, specific prayers. Now, some 20 plus years ago, when I got saved, my best friend at that time, he was Jewish, he was not a believer. We used to be running together, and he was mad at God. He said, you took away my best friend, now he's living for you. And I would witness to Gary. Gary didn't get saved. I would pray for Gary. Gary didn't get saved. I thought the amazing Doc Reed, when he came up to Montrose Baptist in Washington, D.C., if he hears him, he'll get saved. Gary didn't get saved. Gary's hearing the word of God. I even had a bet with my friend Gary. I said, listen, whoever loses the most weight in 3 weeks, mind you, we're in our mid-20s at this time, whoever loses the most weight in 3 weeks gets to claim their prize. I said, if I win, you're coming to church with me for 2 months. He said, all right. He had some other thing. I had to clean something. We were four guys in a house, and I had to do all his stuff for 2 months too. I said, man, there's no way I'm losing this. I lost 30 pounds in 3 weeks. I didn't eat for 3 weeks. I'm saying, man, my friend's going to church. He heard the word of God for 2 months. And Gary didn't get saved. We had people praying for him in the state, out of the state, praying for Gary. Gary didn't get saved. We prayed and fasted for Gary. Gary didn't get saved. Gary called me several years later. He's up in Ohio. We continued to pray for him. Guess what? Gary got saved. Yes. And I want to tell you that there is power in our prayers. He's saying pray persistently, continually. That's our lifestyle. Some of you've got family members who aren't saved yet. Look, it's like that hard sponge that you bring out from underneath your sink. You know that one way back there, that old hard brick sponge. You just break in hands every time you hit yourself with it. And then You hit water on it, and it just hits and it rolls off, hits and rolls off. Sooner or later, one of those drops hits that sponge, and it sticks, and it softens up. And then more water hits, and it softens up, just like our prayers hitting the lost person's heart, and they're softening up in their hearts. Then you take that gospel arrow, and you're just shooting it, and God works through the prayers of his people. There is power in our prayers. The dad that stands at the front door of his house and the whole world and all of its lies and all of its evil and sin and wickedness, all of the depravity of the world, and the dad that covers his house and he says to this world and all of your sin, not in my house, you shall not pass. There is power in a dad that prays over his family. There is such beautiful power in a mom who prays over her children. There is power in our prayers. Praying. And he says here, with all perseverance, not giving up, and all supplication for all the saints, pray for one another. Stop hating one another. Stop envying and being jealous and contentions. That's not the family of God. But now we're praying and loving one another, praying for all the saints. We're all on the same team. So pray for one another. There's a way to pray for the saints. And as we see in Romans chapter 10, the first four verses, Paul was also praying for the lost when he said, "My prayer to God for Israel, the Jewish people, my fellow countrymen, my prayer for them," Paul said, "is that they might be saved." He said, oh, they're very zealous for God. They're religious. They're very religious, but they're lost. Praying for their salvation. Praying for the saints and praying for the lost. And Paul says here in verse 19, "And pray for me." What? Why do we need to pray for Paul? He's a super saint, right? No way. And Paul understood the power of prayer. So Paul said, "Pray for me." We don't think of Paul this way, but Paul was small. Paul would describe himself. He said, "Nothing about me. This is some short dude that had eye problems, looked like a nerd." Paul said, "That's fine. I'm not trusting in my strength anyway. You can just decrease me to zero, because that means God's got to get 100 of it." God always uses the outcast, the small. In Christianity, listen, we got it wrong. We keep thinking, man, it'd be great if some famous movie star or some famous athlete got saved, then we could win the world for Christ. If it's some famous person, they might take the glory. And yet God uses everyday common people, men and women, not famous at all, people who would look in the mirror and say, "I'm a nothing, but with Christ I'm everything." God is using you, the meek of the world, to spread the good news. In our weakness, he is strong. And so Paul, in his weakness, nothing. He even said about his speech, we think Paul was some great speaker. We always brag about that in today's circles, right? "Oh, you got to hear this dude. He's a great speaker." Paul said, "Oh, really? I'm lousy." Paul just came right out and said, "I'm lousy. How many can I attract you? Hey, come to this great conference. We got all these great speakers." God is not impressed with any of that. Come to this great conference. The Apostle Paul, he said he's a lousy speaker. That's what Paul said. So many people worried about what people think about him. Paul was only concerned about what people thought about Jesus. "Pray for me, that utterance, that speech may be given to me, because I'm going out into the battlefield with the gospel. Pray for me that I might open my mouth." Now, he's not just saying, "Let's just pray and leave it at that." No, there was prayer and there was action. "Pray that I might open my mouth." How? Boldly. Because naturally, Paul was very meek and shy. Naturally speaking, he had no confidence in the flesh. And yet he realized that supernaturally he could do all things, and he would speak boldly as God's people would pray and as God would use him. He said, pray for me, that I'm actually going to open my mouth boldly to make known not just things about sports and things about the world, but I have a specific one-track mind, and that is to take the good news, the antidote to mankind's greatest problem. I need to let people know, to make known the mystery of the gospel, how a holy God saves sinful men and women. That's all he was concerned about. That he would make known this mystery that God himself, God the Son, took on our humanity at the incarnation. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life, and he willingly went to the cross, and God the Son went to the cross and died for you. That should blow you away. Are you telling me that my King, the only one true and living God, died for me? Yes. And he's the only way. I know there's all kinds of stuff in the news, and there always will be, that says, well, Jesus is one way. There's thousands of ways. No, there's not. Make sure you leave here today knowing what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus is the only way, that there's no other name given amongst men under heaven by which we must be saved, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You can have all the religion, all the other religious leaders in the world. If you don't have Christ, you don't have eternal life. Somebody's going to say, are you telling me that if I don't have Christ, I'm going to perish? No, I'm not telling you that. God is telling you that. The Word of God is telling us that very clearly. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, that narrow way, which is that old rugged blood-stained cross that aggravates and makes so many so angry. And the world says it's foolishness. But Paul would go around preaching the foolishness of the cross. Foolishness to the world, but to those of us who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. That old rugged cross. And so Paul was speaking about the mystery of the gospel. Not your religion, not your good works, not how good of a person you are, but that by the grace of God and the mercy of God, he opens the door and allows you to respond and receive Christ and be saved. It's available to you this day if you've never walked through that door through Christ and been saved. Paul says about this in verse 20, he says, for which I am an ambassador in chains. We often forget that Paul was writing this from prison. He's writing to encourage the Ephesians. Now, if you would, just think for me, if you were in prison in Rome, the conditions were awful. They didn't have Chick-fil-A, I promise you. No Chick-fil-A, no electricity. It was dark, smelly, awful. There he is in prison. He's in chains. What would your prayer request be if it could be announced to the church? I mean, honestly, our prayer request might be something like, get me out of here. Contact Caesar. Sign a petition. Bring an army. Come, get me out of here, please. But Paul didn't see it that way. Paul wasn't thinking that he was in chains there in Rome. He saw it as Rome was chained to him. They can't get away, and I'm winning this Roman Empire, one Praetorian Guard after another. People are coming to Christ. And as the people of God were praying there in Ephesus, things were shaking in heavenly places. Things are moving around. They're praying. Paul's there in prison. He's sharing the gospel in his chains. Listen, one man being used by a bunch of prayer warriors changed the world. The Roman Empire, this great nation, changed by God's people praying and being bold enough to speak forth the truth of God's word. I don't know why God chooses to do it that way, but God chooses to use the prayers of weak, frail people who are willing to say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me, wherever that may be. And Paul prays and he says, I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might speak boldly. Pray that I might speak on my soccer team, in the class, as I ought to speak. Let me just change that, as we ought to speak. Do you agree with that? Pray for us that we would speak as we ought to speak, not in hate, not in bitterness, not beating people over the head, but in love, speaking the truth of the gospel as we ought to speak. And then as he concludes, and our time is running tight, listen. It says in verse 21, but that you also may know what's going on with me, my situation, my affairs, and how I'm doing. He wanted them to have an update. So he says, Tychicus, man, where have all the good names gone anyway? I know we got about 12 pregnancies in the church right now. We pray for them every Monday. But let me just consider, if you're having a boy, let's go with Tychicus, okay? Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. Paul is such a blessing the way he writes. You know, oftentimes we lose the opportunity to encourage one another. I love listening to Finney Matthews. He's always encouraging one another, privately and publicly. We miss that today. Doc Reed does so good at that, an encourager. We need encouragers. Be intentional to encourage one another, to speak about the good things that God is doing publicly, privately. Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, he's going to make these things known to you. Paul says, whom I've sent to you. Paul's sending Tychicus because he wants the people of God to be comforted and to be informed. And he says, I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, twofold, that you may know what's going on and that he may comfort or encourage your hearts. Let our hearts be encouraged today to have the updates of all that God is doing here in this place, as we pray, as we give, as we go. And then he says this, watch this beautiful benediction, these parting words. He says, and peace to the brethren, that is harmony and unity. Peace to God's people. And love, the word here, agape, this unconditional, to be wholly given over to the well-being of another. We should love each other that way. That's the trademark of a true believer. Jesus says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, in that you have love for one another. Somebody took your parking spot. Your response should be, no big deal. I'm willing to park all the way in South Dakota, if it helps the people of God. Somebody came in and cut you off, or maybe they took your seat. Who cares? I'm going to encourage. I'm going to build up the unity and love, loving one another. Peace and love with faith, faith in the sovereignty of God, that he knows what he's doing, with faith from God the Father and the Lord. Who's the Lord? Jesus Christ. Who's Lord? Jesus is Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, grace. Grace be with you. Grace to you from God our Father. Paul would open up this way. He would close this way. No other letters in the New Testament in the way that Paul. He says, this is my special signature. He would write this way. Look at the end of all of his letters. Grace be with all of those. Notice what he says here. He doesn't just say all the saints, but specifically, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus. Let me ask you, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord Jesus? Wholly given over to him. Do you love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in all sincerity. That is to say, with a pure love, incorruptible, sincere love. Grace be with you. Grace speaks of God's kindness towards you. Listen, and we're about to close. Think of God's kindness towards you, God's mercy towards you, God's generosity towards you, God's provision towards you, God's grace, God's unmerited, God's favor to you. The Lord loves you. Now, as He has taught us in this book, let us love one another. Let us walk in the light. We are the children of God. Let us act like it. We see this special benediction as He closes. No one else writes this way, nowhere else except one book in the New Testament that has an unnamed author. That is the book of Hebrews. Hebrews has this same benediction signature, an indication that maybe that unnamed author is the Apostle Paul. Why do you bring up Hebrews? Because that's our next study. Through the book of Hebrews, we're going to study a very difficult book with difficult passages. So I'm going to need you to study and read along. We will begin that in the beginning of August. So we're going to take some time as people travel in and out to look at some of the disciplines of the Christian faith over the next 6 weeks. And I'm excited. You see that on the front page of the bulletin. May God be with and bless His people. Amen. And let us pray. Father, we thank You for this word to us. Lord, bless now our time of invitation that we extend to all who would respond. We pray for this time of invitation in Jesus' name and amen.